The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Pastor Ray Bentley says faith is the key to heaven.
Jesus says this is the only work God requires of you, and that is to believe. Now, Paul in the New Testament says salvation is by grace through faith, and even that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So faith is this gift, but the only thing that God requires of me, the only thing that will get me into heaven is faith.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Wouldn't it be nice to have a free pass to heaven? It's sort of like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, in a way we do. When we put our full faith and trust in Christ, He takes care of the rest. But what about the sins we still commit? Pastor Ray addresses that today. Let's listen.
A careful reading of Romans 1 through 8 reveals that the subject matter of the two halves is not the same. If you read the first five chapters of Romans, it talks about sins and it deals with our sins. But beginning in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, basically, and on through Romans chapter 8, the second half of this section, Paul switches from using the word sins to using the word sin singularly. He's talking about the root that is producing the rotten fruit, if you will. So the first section is dealing with the sins I have committed before God, which are many and can be enumerated. The second section, which we are now in, deals with sin as a principle at work within me. So that's our dual problem. Sins, I need to be forgiven of the things I've done. But now once I know that I can be forgiven, I need to be dealt with the root of the problem, which is who I am. And God has a dual answer for sins and for sin. If you have a pen or a pencil, God's answer for my sins is the blood, while His answer for my sin is the cross. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But have you also come to know and discovered there is power, power, precious working power in the cross of Jesus Christ? Now, there are two words here that are underneath letter C in your outline, justification and sanctification. And quite honestly, there's a third word we're going to add by the time we get to Romans 8, and that's glorification. You need to become familiar and understand these words. Now, the word justification, what does it mean? To be justified means to be made just, or another word that is interchangeable with it is righteous. How can I be made? I'm obviously unjust. I am obviously a sinner. So how does a sinner be made just? How does an unrighteous person be made righteous? How are we justified? The blood. The blood of Jesus washes me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. The blood of Jesus forgives me. The blood of Jesus makes me righteous. It has nothing to do with you, because your works will fall short. Now, let's move to the word sanctification. Sanctification means to make holy. It means not only, okay, it's one thing to be washed from everything you did in the past, but how about your behavior today? Sanctification means making you holy in practical experience and reality. It is the cross that makes me holy. It's the power of the cross that changes my life. It is that I am crucified with Christ that breaks the power of sin in my life and sets me free. It is through the cross that I too am dead to sin. Not only Jesus died for sin, but in Christ, I died to sin. It has no power, no authority, no jurisdiction in my life. So now Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is there in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together, shall we? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. That's how your sins are forgiven. So we know the precious truth that my past is justified by faith. But when I know that, I only know half of the story. I need to also know that I can be sanctified, the power of his resurrection, because Jesus died for me and I died with him, is now ready to flow into my life. The divine way of deliverance. Our old self was crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. I'm dead to sin. You're dead to sin. Why? Because we're in Christ, and he was crucified, and I was in him, so I was crucified with him, so I'm dead to sin. Question, how many of you feel dead to sin? Actually, in many ways, you feel more alive to sin than you did before. He doesn't say that your old flesh died. Your flesh didn't die. Your flesh is still here. But your old self died in Christ. So I'm going to still struggle with my flesh, but the power of sin has no more jurisdiction over me. Now, to try to give an illustration, I'm going to use an analogy, and I'll explain it like this. When I was little and growing up, my dad, who is a real character, you got to get to know my dad. His dad was raised, he was a farmer, and they lived a very simple and rural life, and grandpa grew up in the Depression, and my dad toward the end of that, and so he likes saving money. My dad is from the old school, and there are so many good character qualities about him. And one of them is that a penny saved is a penny earned, and he likes to save money any way he can. Well, that's fine, except when your dad becomes your barber when you are a boy growing up. No, you don't need to go, Now, that's fine when you're a little kid, and when you're little, and me and my two brothers, like in the summertime when it's hot, he always just gave us butch haircuts. And when you're a little kid, you don't care. It's great. I don't have to do anything. And off you go running around, you little fuzzy-headed guys that you are. But then I got to sixth grade. I started wanting to kind of have longer hair as I, looking at the girls. And they weren't kind of looking at the bald-headed little guys. So I wanted to have some hair growing. And my dad would, what he would do is he would take those little clippers, do you remember those things? And he would drive a freeway down the middle of my head. And then he'd say, now, what was it? Did you want to keep your hair or didn't you? It's like, well, now you got it. It looks weird, Shave it off. One time, his brother, my Uncle Ken, was going to cut our hair. And we were so excited. Finally, we're going to get to, have some dignity. And so he said, no, I'm not going to be like your dad. I'm going to treat you guys right. Now, do you want to keep your sideburns? I said, yes. He reached up, he cut both of them off and said, there you go. It was tough. Finally, I reached seventh grade. I knew I couldn't get through to dad, so you go to mom. Kids are master psychologists. I go to mom, Mom, I am sick and tired of having a butch-headed little head. I want long hair. And so with negotiations, I was able to grow long hair. So seventh grade, here we are. I've grown it all summer. But I discovered something that I never had known until the seventh grade. When I let my hair grow long, I had calyx. I had this big calyx in the front of my hair, another calyx in the back, and it was weird. I couldn't control it. I did everything. I used tape and this really sticky stuff and glue and wrappings, and it just kept coming up. And I'll tell you, you will never see my junior high picture from seventh grade, because I couldn't control it, and it's the biggest wave you've ever seen in your life. I mean, your flesh is always going to be there. You got a calyx, you're going to have a calyx. So finally, I just decided if I got it, go with it. Woo, yeah, come on. Walk proud, baby. Now, that's a silly analogy, but the point is, we are what we are, and the flesh is what it is. But the power of sin, I am dead to. I'm never going to reach a point where I'm not weak. I'm never going to reach a point where I'm beyond temptation. No matter how old you get, Chuck Smith says, I still struggle with sin, temptation, my flesh. But we are still dead to sin. And it is a divinely revealed word to us that sin has no power. I like what William Newell says. He says, these words to reason are foolishness. But ah, what stormy seas has faith walked over? What mountains has faith cast into the sea? How many impossible things has faith done? That you are dead to sin is addressed to faith as a revelation from God. Your reason is blind. The word of the cross is foolishness to our reason. And Jesus put it this way in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Let's read this scripture out loud together. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. The rabbis came to Jesus and they said, Rabbi, tell us. When they said, what must we do the works of God? It was, if I could paraphrase, what must we do to get to heaven? What does God expect of us? What does he really require of us? Can you boil it down? How can I be made holy? How can I be acceptable before a holy God? What are the works? And they were probably ready to write them down, to enumerate them. And then notice Jesus' answer. Jesus said, this is the work, singular. There it again, just like sins and sin, works and work. Underline the word work. Jesus says, this is the only work God requires of you, if we can even call it a work, and that is to believe. Now, Paul in the New Testament says, salvation is by grace through faith, and even that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So faith is this gift. But the one thing that God requires of me, the only thing that God requires of me, the only thing that will get me into heaven is faith. And that's what Paul and the Holy Spirit are asking us to believe here, is by faith, I am dead to sin. Most of us want to understand it first, and then we will believe. God says, no, believe first, then you will understand. Many of us want to show me, and I'll believe. God says, believe, and I will show you. Let me put it in another realm. You say, well, I don't feel very dead to sin. I still sin a lot and I struggle with sin. Well, the Bible says you're dead to sin. Well, I don't feel like it. So what you're really saying is, if I could feel dead to sin, then I'd be dead to sin. And God is saying, no, you have to have faith that you are dead to sin. And when you release your faith that what I'm saying is true and that your feelings are a lie, when you will say, I believe you, Lord, I trust in you, I am dead to sin by faith, then the feelings and the power, more accurately, of the resurrection of Christ will flow in through your life with new power over sin, new desires, new dreams, new direction, new righteousness, from victory to victory, from faith to faith, growing more and more like Jesus Christ. Feelings follow faith. Faith first, then the feelings. Or if I put it this way, faith first, then the experience. We want to feel it before we believe it. It doesn't work that way. And it's your human fallen nature that wants you to feel it first before you'll believe it. And God says, then that doesn't require faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because I'll tell you, in life as well as in heaven, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's how you get to heaven. It's not what you know and how much Bible knowledge you have. It's who you know. You know Jesus, you believe in him, you're going in by faith. And that's the whole point of Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's all about believing. So Romans chapter 6, verse 6 is something for you and I to believe. Now again, in the end of verse 6, Paul says this, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be, in the King James, it says destroyed. New King James, I think, and the NIV have it done away with. Those three words, done away with, all three of them are the same word that's translated in King James, destroyed. But let me give you a definition of that Greek word. It means to put out of business. Remember the factory I was talking about? You keep destroying the bottles of poison, the toxic sins. I confess them and the blood of Jesus forgives me, but the factory keeps making them. What do I do about the factory? The Lord says he's put it out of business. How do you do that? When I was crucified with Christ. The factory that produces sin is now put out of business. It means to abolish, put out of business. Knowing this, our old self was crucified with him that the body of sin might be put out of business, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I am not enslaved to sin. For he that is died is freed from sin. Since our old self was crucified with Christ, all the rites of sin are gone. The Holy Spirit makes the body of sin no longer a slave to sin, but now I can offer my body as it were, a slave to the living God. Now, let me use this analogy. How did you receive forgiveness from your sins? How do you know that you're forgiven of your sins? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I know that I'm forgiven of my sins? Because the Bible says if I confess them, which I have, God on his part will cleanse me and forgive me. So I know it because God said it and I did it and it's done. Now here's what many young believers struggle with though. And maybe some of you are a young believer struggling with this. You say, okay, I came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm a sinner. I confess my sins like the Bible said. And then it says that Jesus forgave me of my sins. But here's my problem. I still don't feel forgiven. You ever been there? I have. You confess your sins. You know that Jesus has forgiven you, but you don't feel forgiven. So then you have to instruct yourself and one another. How are you forgiven? Are you forgiven by your feelings or by your faith? Not by your feelings, but by faith. Did you confess your sins? Yes, I did. Did Jesus forgive you? Well, he says he did. Well, then he did. So where are your sins? They're forgiven. But I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. I am forgiven if I feel forgiven, and I am forgiven if I don't feel forgiven. I'm forgiven either way. Amen? Because of faith. Faith is what sets me free. Now, what is true of your forgiveness is also true of your deliverance from the power of sin. Forgiveness deals with my past sins, but now the cross deals with deliverance from the present power of sin the same way. Many people say, well, I don't feel dead to sin. The Bible's not asking you to feel dead to sin. It's asking you to believe by faith that you are. And when you express faith and say and release that faith, well, even though I feel this way, I'm dead to sin. As you begin to live and believe in that realm of faith, so it is done in your life. The work is done. There is no need to pray, but only to praise. Why do you feel or believe, rather, that Jesus died? How do you know that Jesus died on the cross? Is it that you feel he has died? No, you have never felt that Jesus died because you weren't there and you didn't see it. You believe that Jesus died because God's word tells you that he died. And it does not matter how you feel about it. Because if you feel Christ has died, he has died. If you don't feel Christ has died, he has still died. If you feel you have died, you have died. And if you don't feel that you are dead to sin, you're still dead to sin because these are divine facts. The old self that we loathe, God said, is beyond reformation. I had to just crucify him. The old you was crucified with Christ. You are dead to sin. Sin no longer has power or jurisdiction over you. And the other analogy that I would use is like this. There are many believers who are like the children of Israel who, having escaped the bondage of Egypt, and the picture of the slavery for 400 years in Egypt, they were slaves, pretty obvious, just like we used to be when we were sinners. Then you accept Christ and his blood. Remember the Passover, the blood of the Lamb? Then where did they go after the blood of the Lamb, their salvation? They went where? To the wilderness. On their way to the promised land. But what happened to them out in the wilderness? They started going in circles. They left Egypt, but they hadn't yet entered into Canaan. That's where many believers are. The children of Israel started going in circles. They went into this cycle, and that's where many believers remain, and that's where Satan wants to keep you. All right, I lost the battle for their salvation. They're going to go to heaven when they die, but I'm going to make them ineffective in the meantime. Why did the children of Israel, who were delivered from, as slaves, free men and women, out in the wilderness, miracles, it was obvious God was with them, but they couldn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. So they went around and around and around in circles for a whole generation, for 40 years. And that's where many believers, they come, I know that I'm a sinner, and I confess my sins, and the blood of Jesus forgives me. And every day they sin more, and then they confess their sins, and Jesus forgives them, and they go on their whole life living a defeated, weak, anemic, spiritual life, and they're not effective as a witness. They don't grow in new areas of holiness and righteousness. The Lord Jesus is saying to us through the book of Romans, he's whispering, he's saying, hey, kids, I didn't mean for you to stay 40 years in the wilderness. Do you know how long the journey was supposed to take from Egypt to the Canaan's land? About 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned into 40 years because of what? Unbelief. So what is God saying? He's saying, now I want you to cross the River Jordan, and there's Paul's analogy of being baptized. Hey, you're dead to sin. Once you cross the Jordan, you've not only left Egypt behind, you left the wilderness behind, you are on your way now as you make your way toward Canaan, the promised land. Yeah, but there's going to be giants there. There's going to be battles there. Yes, there will be. There'll be battles, there will be giants. But here's what the Lord says. The battle is mine, saith the Lord. It's not your battle. Oh, I want you to show up, and I want you to fight, but the battle is mine. I will fight for you. I will deliver you. I will defeat your enemies. I will go before you. I will manifest my victorious, powerful right arm. And like David, David was the example of what God wanted the whole nation of Israel to be. Yeah, there's giants. But those giants, the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. They're going down. And David is going to grow, and he's going to ascend. And so the Christian life is not just getting into this cycle of, oh, I'm a loser, and I'm a sinner, and I'm a bad person, and I confess, and hey, yes, we're sinners. Yes, we confess. Yes, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. That's only half the story. If all you've known is the power of the blood, may now the message of God's Spirit speak to our hearts to experience the power of the cross and to deliver you into a whole new area and realm of walking in the resurrection power of Christ.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with important encouragement about our standing before the Lord. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention In Christ, Part 2. It's available for just $7. Again, it's called In Christ, Part 2. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-921-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.